do. My mom and dad were both one of six, so I love having a big family. Let me just take a second to get set up here. I'm going to actually speak off of my computer since it's the most accurate document I have. And I did take off the cover because I thought the stickers might be distracting to you guys. Okay, is that better? Okay, I can't hold it and walk around because I need to look at my notes. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is actually blocking my view. Let me see what I can do. Okay, there we go. Yay. I am Allison, as she said. It is really great to be here. Thank you guys for asking me to speak. You guys see me a lot. Like, you see me up here, you see me whatever. I'm in front of your kids all the time. But I've actually never spoken at Mom, so here you go. As Cole said, this week we are talking about love that selflessly sacrifices. And the opening verse that we got from our book here, so this is chapter 2, is, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." That's from John 15, 12 to 13. And by the way, all of the Bible verses I'm using and the main points are going to be on the slides, but they're also on your handout. So whether I should be sharing different things, I don't know, but they're all here. So in our Seven Laws book, let's see if I can advance. There we go. Okay, that was the verse. I was supposed to show you that. That's the verse. Okay. Next one. Anytime we love someone, we will eventually be compelled to make a selfless sacrifice. So in the book we have here, the author gave some examples of that. So he told an example of his dad, who had these special silver dollars that he got from his grandmother and kept it for decades. But unfortunately, there came a time in their life when he was struggling to get food on the table. So he had to spend those silver dollars. But that was a sacrifice that he was willing to make for the sake of his family. He also gave another example when he was in college himself, and he wanted to propose to his then-girlfriend, now wife, and get an engagement ring. But he didn't have enough money, so he got a job, and so he struggled to finish his classes and work the job to make enough money to buy this engagement ring, which he did. And again, it was a sacrifice that he made, but he did that willingly because he wanted to have that special ring for his wife. So I'm sure that all of you have made some sacrifices at some point in your life. Some may have been pretty big, and some may have been smaller. So maybe you had to relocate to a new city or a new state or even farther for a spouse's job, and that meant you also needed to find a new job and figure out everything in this new location. Maybe your kid's in a club sport. My understanding is that it's a big commitment, including fees, travel, many weekends away, and that's a huge significant impact on a family. Maybe your sacrifice was smaller. Maybe you let someone have the top or bottom bunk in the dorms, or maybe just even for a week at summer camp. Or maybe you let someone else pick the restaurant you went out for dinner. So whether you think of yourself as a selfless person or not, at some point you have likely sacrificed something for someone else. Now, as parents, as Eric shared, we have all made numerous sacrifices. Financial is the first one that comes to my mind. Of course, there's things like food and clothes and college tuition. And just think about all those diapers, right? My sister-in-law has 5 kids, and they're all 2 to 3 years apart. So I realized one day she was probably in diapers for like a decade. So I just hope she bought stock in Huggies. But for most of us, that was a responsibility that we knew we would be taking on, and we were willing to do it. Having kids also means sacrifice of time, all those sleep-deprived days and nights, and some of you are there right now. Cherishing those few free hours when your kids are at preschool. I remember our days being dictated by nap times, school drop-offs and pickups, practices and rehearsals, and life is just one big schedule. Some of us may have sacrificed our identity. Many of us stopped or paused our careers when we decided to have kids. Not that we don't love being so-and-so's mom, but it can be an adjustment not having that professional side be as prominent in our lives. So since all of you may have made those sacrifices, maybe you guys are already familiar with sacrificial love. But they've given me 20 minutes, so I'm going to keep going. Sometimes you'll live to see the impact of your sacrifices, and sometimes you won't. We don't make our sacrifices for recognition, we make our sacrifices for love. So when I read this, these main points are from our book. It made me think of Proverbs 31. So some of you might be familiar with that passage in the Bible that talks about this amazing, must not really be a real person, woman who did everything, right? She had her own business and she made her own clothes and she was probably an amazing chef and had an organized home. But anyways, at the end of that, in verse 28, it says, "Her children arise and call her blessed." So many of us might not hear that for decades or maybe ever, but that's not why we do what we do, right? Our kids, we love them selflessly. And who knows, maybe one day they will arise and call us blessed. But now I'm going to move on to a more personal example. So I was asked to share about this chapter on loving selflessly, as people remembered my journey of caring for my mom last year. So my mom passed away on December 29th of 2024, so it's almost 9 months ago. And for the last 8 months of her life, she stayed primarily with me, and I brought her to Moraga. She came in May, because at home she'd just been eating less and sleeping more and losing weight, and we just thought that this environment would be more beneficial to her, and my lifestyle enabled her to just be more engaged and at home, and we feel like she really thrived while she was here. And many of you remember her during her time here, and also from previous visits, you know, from years before. And thank you guys so much for always welcoming her warmly and greeting her and helping her out. That really meant so much to her, and it meant a lot to me, too. So I'm super glad that y'all were able to get to know her. So last fall, she was diagnosed with colon cancer that metastasized to her liver and her lungs. And at that point, she was already 97. And treatment wasn't an option. She was already kind of weak, and she'd already lost a lot of weight. And so any treatment would have shortened her life instead of extending it. So we were given the prognosis that she would live 3 to 4 months. And miraculously, she had no symptoms or pain. And that's actually one of the reasons why we didn't know she had cancer until it was discovered. One of the doctors literally said it was a miracle that she had no symptoms or pain with the extent of disease in her body. And God was so gracious. So at this point, we were just praying that she would live as long as she could and not be in any pain, and God mightily answered that prayer. She actually didn't need any pain meds just until the last 2 days of her life, and so we were super thankful for that. So as I mentioned, she was already 97, and so she died 1 month short of turning 98. Her mom, my grandma, lived to be 102, and my mom always thought she would make it to 100, but God had a different plan for her. Up until her mid-80s, my mom was super active and strong. She had some short-term memory issues, as some of you know, but they were very manageable. She mainly just repeated herself a lot and asked the same questions. But she could easily do the stairs here at church. She enjoyed gardening, and she walked the trail, so she was really an amazing lady. In her later years, my mom always said that she didn't want to be a burden. I don't think she felt like she was, but she didn't want to be. And so I would always tell her, "You're not a burden, you're a blessing." And that was really the truth. I am so thankful that I was able to care for my mom as her health and her strength declined. And because she was petite, those of you that knew her, she was very petite and small, so I was able to physically help her. And she was easy. Until the very end, she was pleasant and cheerful and funny and appreciative. It's just the way she always was. And I do know that that's not the case for a lot of people, probably most people with aging parents. I know there's difficulty and stubbornness and frustration that usually accompanies that journey. So we're just very fortunate and thankful that it wasn't the case like that with my parents. So was there selfless love and sacrifice for me to care for her? I suppose in some ways there was. It certainly took my time to prepare food and keep her active and engaged. And as the months progressed, of course, I had to help her with eating and showering, getting dressed, using the bathroom. But I know that the Holy Spirit was with me to give me the strength and body and mind to really care for her in that way. And at the end, she really needed a lot of help. And a big shout out to Hospice of East Bay. They were amazing. I highly recommend them. So last week, Patty Huxley talked about intention versus commitment. So it made me think about that. So I had always intended to care for my parents, But I realized that I'd made that a commitment as well. Because I think caring well for my parents was just making sure they were well cared for. And it ended up that I was able to provide that care myself, but in a different situation, I would have had to arrange for her care. But either way, I was committed to make sure my parents were cared for. So the fact that caring for my mom wasn't immensely challenging really is more of a testament to my mom and her temperament and who she was versus me. I'm also thankful for the many sacrifices that my mom and dad both made through the many years of raising my brother and myself. And I do consider it a privilege having been able to spend those last months with my mom here in our home. I wouldn't trade that for anything. We have so many amazing memories with her and with my family, and we'll just forever hold those dear. It was a gift to us, it really was. So since I have the floor, I'm going to show you some pictures. So these are a couple pictures of me and my mom. The one on the right was actually taken right out here in the courtyard last October. So this is mainly during her time with us. The other one was at her church back home in November. So this one, she's the one sitting down. Those are some of my 26 cousins. This was actually an amazing trip that we took last November. It was during the Veterans Day weekend. We went to Southern Cal. And some of you may or may not know, there's actually this big book at the Japanese American National Museum, which is in downtown Los Angeles in Little Tokyo. And it has the names of over 120,000 internees that were in the internment camps during World War II. So both my parents and families were interned during the war. I see Joan. Okay, I'm going to divert a little bit. Fun fact, those of you that know Joan Batchelor, my mom and Joan's aunt were friends. So they met each other in camp, actually, because her aunt was from San Diego, and my mom was from the Central Cal area. So my mom was good friends with her Auntie Marion. Anyways, we were able to take my mom down to LA to stamp her name in that book. So that was really an amazing trip that my kids and I did. This is Thanksgiving. This is my mom. This is at our house. And this is all of her grandkids. And this was at Christmas. So at that point, yes, she was in the hospital bed. This is in my living room. And this is actually just 4 days before she passed. So this is actually from my parents' honeymoon. This was when they were in Acapulco. I know, my mom's so pretty. My dad looks a little goofy. And this is a more recent picture of both of my parents. Oopsie. Okay. So, oopsie. Okay. So the ultimate test of love comes when a person is asked to give up all they value for the sake of another. And even though we're talking about loving selflessly, I don't think it means that we sacrifice to the point of our own detriment. In Philippians 2:3-4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Now, with this verse, I actually have a caveat, and with that point about giving up all that you have. My caveat is that if one gives up something and it's not done out of that selfless love, there could be a negative ramification, and that is that you might build feelings of resentment. So if someone is expecting that recognition or appreciation, like we said earlier, we don't do it for recognition, although it's nice and it should happen, so I hope people are appreciative of you. If it doesn't happen, a person can become resentful for that. So if you feel like the other person needs to do something nice for you as well, it's kind of like this expected reciprocation. And I'm sure for most relationships, there is or should be this give and take on both sides. But sometimes I think if one person feels like the giving is lopsided, that can really create an issue. And so we're kind of challenged to love selflessly without that kind of expectation. It made me think of kind of a basic example of, like, let's say you're gonna go out to dinner and you really feel like Mexican food, but your friend really feels like Chinese food, and you're like, okay, no, we'll go Chinese. And you could be okay and just realize you can get Mexican next week or tomorrow or whatever, but if you sit there during the dinner being like, oh man, this broccoli beef, this wonton soup, I wish I was having tostadas instead, you know, then that's not really good, right? It's gonna build those feelings, and you can see how something as minor as that can be a much bigger in a much bigger kind of situation. So that was just something I had in mind as I was sharing that verse. So now I'm going to move on to a biblical example, because we have the most perfect example of the best sacrificial, selfless love ever. Okay, most of you are probably familiar with this popular Bible verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So I added the emphasis. So God loved us. That is what he gave to us, and he gave us his Son. That was a huge sacrifice that God the Father made for our sake. He sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Isaiah 53:7 says, and he's talking about Jesus, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. So Jesus could have called down an army of angels to rescue him, but love compelled him to stay. So he willingly gave up his life for us, because he is the ultimate example of love sacrificing selflessly. He made that sacrifice for each one of us, and he gave up his life for each one of us, because that is how much he loves us and all that he endured on our behalf. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So my hope and concern when I was giving this talk is not that I took care of my mom so well, but really, I was really given that opportunity to love and care for someone. And because of what he's done for us, we can do that for others. My parents also loved and cared well for me, and I was so glad and so thankful I was able to do that for them. Many of you know that I'm adopted, and so I know that from day one, God had an amazing plan for my life. He really did. So right now, there's some things I just want you to listen to. If you want to close your eyes, that's fine. And I just want you to listen to what I'm going to share with you, okay? I want you to just bask and be covered in the immense love our Lord has for us. Be filled with his peace, reassurance, acceptance, forgiveness, and love. Claim and hold tight to his promises. He loves you, always has. Always will, and he will be there forever. His loving arms will never fail you. You can take that in, accept his love, so in turn, you can love others. And I'd like to close our time in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for how you love each one of us selflessly and sacrificially. We just thank you and we praise you for that. We thank you for people you have put into our lives that have loved us well and shown us that selfless love. They have been a blessing to us. Thank you. And we pray for those that you may put into our lives that you call us to love in a selfless and sacrificial way. Give us your Holy Spirit to be able to love them well as you would love them. Sometimes it's not easy, so we do ask for your help. And help us to see those opportunities so that we can love them well as you would. And we just thank you and praise you in your Son's most holy name. Amen. Thank you, guys.